Are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read together Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8. Bless the Lord,
O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins and heals all your infirmities. He redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with mercy and loving kindness. He satisfies you with good things, and your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses and his works to the children of Israel. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness.
Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the spirit of love that speaks a greater word than the love of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape and they refuse the one who warned them from birth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warned them from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth.
bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, from whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he had said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Third step being, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood God. The clause that jumped out to me the first time I heard it, at least that's the way I remember it, was, "Relieve me of the bondage of self." Most people in the grip of addiction are simultaneously in the grip of self-absorption. That can take various forms, such as simply and totally disregarding the feelings and needs of others, being pathologically concerned about others' opinions of oneself, having an inflated opinion of oneself, having a chronically low opinion of oneself, to name just a few. Just to be clear, I don't think addicts have cornered the market on self-centeredness, but it does seem to be one of the hallmarks of that disease. The overarching characteristic of this bondage of self is that it leaves little room for God. It stands in opposition to the freedom that comes with knowing and accepting that there is a being or a force or a spirit greater than oneself. Talk like that might seem superfluous in church where we all believe in God, but how often do we believers think and act as if everything depended on us and our efforts alone? Obviously, I can't answer for you, but I can tell you that more often than I care to admit, I worry and fret over a problem or a potential problem for an agonizingly long time before occurs to me that I might pray about it. That, well, it often goes something like this. Wait a minute, there is something I can do. And the first step is to stop doing. Stop fretting. And ask for God's help. Sometimes the prayer is nothing more than help. Help me to release my knuckle and mind-numbing grip on this. Rarely have I done that. Okay, never. Have I heard God say, Michael, you need to go here and do this and take care of that? However, frequently have I had this experience. I take a breath, something on my own I've forgotten to do during this process, slow down, and the problem before me seems clearer. Sometimes it's merely that I've shut up, and someone else says something filled with wisdom, offering a way through the situation at hand. That happens at vestry meetings, for example. I often say at vestry and other meetings, and that's why we have meetings, because somebody hears something that nobody else has heard, but the interaction makes it possible. More than the interaction, God makes it possible. Another example of the way that works is an incident in my former parish. It was moments before, again, a vestry meeting. And I was frantically searching for a document needed in that meeting. I was tearing my study apart, looking for in file folders, drawers, stacks of paper, and by grace, there's no other explanation, it occurred to me that I might ask God for help. I don't even know what the prayer was. I would like to think it wasn't, God help me find that sheet of paper. But something more general like, help. I took a breath, accepted my inability to make things happen, to power through, and then, calmly, I looked at the first file folder in front of me, one in which I'd looked two or three times before, and there was the document I needed. It's a pretty mundane story. No falling off an ass, no blinding light, no voice from heaven. The world was not changed, but I was. The I in this case was what that clause points to, the bondage of self. My fear that I would fail, that others would think ill of me, would find me out as incompetent. I, me. When it became less about me and more about the good of the parish, God's will, though again I confess, those words did not go through my head, the help washed over me. Now, before I leave this humble example, please understand the point is not that I found the document I was looking for, but that, however briefly, I was relieved of the bondage of self. It wasn't all about me anymore. In fact, had I not found the paper, I would still have gone into that meeting in a calmer state, better prepared to do what we were there to do, to seek and do God's will, to further God's kingdom in the world, or in the words of today's collect, to show forth God's power among all peoples, in however small an increment. The story we've received today, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, importantly, on a Sabbath day. When God's will presented itself to him, he healed the woman who'd been crippled for 18 years. Please note that in this case, the cure, the healing, is not the startling thing. It's pretty clear that cures were expected. Business as usual during business hours. As the leader of the synagogue said, 6 days a week you could come and be cured. The point at issue is legalism, theological legalism, in terms of the practice of the faith at that time. As Linda was reading the passage from Isaiah, I thought about it earlier, but I forgot to stick it into the sermon. All of that going on that Isaiah does about the Sabbath. But the most important thing he says about it, keeping the Sabbath holy, is if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, later on he says, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. But what the leader of the synagogue, that's the way he's identified in this passage, has to say, has to do with breaking the rules about the Sabbath. Maybe he's motivated by the weight of his authority. Maybe he's caught up in the political, religious movement against Jesus. Maybe he wants to show everyone there who is boss. And it seems like it's more himself than God. We just don't know. So, he might have been in need of some relief from bondage of self. Jesus might have known that. Jesus was clearly unconcerned about others' opinions of himself. He, God incarnate, was clearly concerned with this child of God who had been suffering for years. He also, pretty clearly, was concerned that everyone in attendance should understand that God's grace and love and power are more important than the rules we humans devise. What he says to the woman is, you're set free from your ailments. To the leader, he says, this woman, a daughter of Abraham, should be set free from this bondage. Freedom is the message. Freedom from a disease, yes, but also freedom from the notion that we, by our efforts and rules and regulations and judgments, make God act on our behalf. So to a paraphrase and amend somewhat the comment for today, we gather together in unity of spirit in order to set aside our bondage to self and to show forth God's power among all peoples to the glory of God's name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please stand for the Nicene Creed. We believe
in God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven,
and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come share your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray especially for Jim, Ann, John, David, Jane, Pat, Patty, Jill, Karen, Stephen, Diane, Alicia, Maureen, Greg, Janet, Chris, Philip, R.G., Carol, Sarah, Joey, Alan, George, Jim, the people of Ukraine, the Degatere family, Martha and family, for Jean Ann, James, Chase, the Cox family, the Burks family, and for Emily. And for those in the military, Brian, Trevor, James, Reed, Kevin, Brian, Jared, Chris, Jonathan, Eric, and all in harm's way. We pray for all who are traveling this week. We pray for all who have died, especially Jeffrey McMurray, Rick Chapman, Dusty Hudson, and Stephen Cox. We pray in thanksgiving with Lee Myers and Linda Myers for their birthdays. Ken Tolliver for his birthday. They will all celebrate birthdays this week.
I invite your prayers, petitions, thanksgiving at this time, silently or aloud. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry,
we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
You please stand. Lord, be always with you.
And also with you.
Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim the mark of the world and continue with the life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May the blessing of the God of Abraham and Sarah, and of Jesus Christ, born of our sister Mary, and of the Holy Spirit, who broods over the world as a mother over her children, be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
pray.